Did all those expensive ads in the Super Bowl last night just seem flat? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. At that festival of advertising known as Super Bowl 50 last night, sponsors paid up to $5 million for 30 seconds of space. In this streaming YouTube world, one would think advertisers would try stuff that might prompt repeat viewings today, but what did you think?
Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby.
What was that ad even for? I mean, it's funny enough to see creepy Christopher Walken trying to sell, I think, Kia cars or gnarly Willem Dafoe turn back into Marilyn Monroe after eating a Snickers. But were there any knockouts? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer was also forensically watching the ads. Hello, Nancy.
Hey, David. Well, you know, last year, some of the emotional, intense ads, they just really backfired. You may remember that Nationwide ad last year with the dead boy talking about child safety. As a parent, I couldn't even watch that. So while last year the ads all tried to be deep and emotional, this year everybody kept it light with lots of babies and puppies. Doritos ran an ad with a fetus reaching for a chip during an ultrasound. I got to say that puppy monkey baby ad was just weird. I didn't even know the ad was for Mountain Dew until I was assigned the story this morning. Advertisers did pay a lot for those 30-second ads. Budweiser got a nice freebie at the end when the Broncos winning quarterback Peyton Manning said he was going to celebrate by drinking Budweiser. Budweiser says it didn't pay for that. There were also some out-of-place ads for constipation and diarrhea. Not exactly what you're thinking about during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, enlightening, both those ads. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you very much for this. The restaurant chain Chipotle is closed today for lunch, a military-style safety stand-down. The company is using the first part of the day to train workers, to review new safety protocols, and to boost morale. This after people were sickened after eating at Chipotle, prompting lawsuits and a federal criminal investigation. Marketplace's Annie Baxter looks at the chain's ongoing challenges.
17-year-old Howard Williams used to eat at a Chipotle in St. Paul about four times a week, but not anymore.
I just heard about it like, on the news and stuff, so I try to stay away pretty much.
The Chipotle he frequented was linked to a salmonella outbreak last year. Elsewhere, norovirus and E. coli outbreaks have been linked to the chain. Chipotle's planning promotional deals to woo people like Williams back. But Steven Anderson, an analyst at Maxim Group, fears the deals won't bring in loyal customers.
They come for the deals, but once the deal's done, they go away.
Still, Carrie Morrison hasn't given up on the chain. All right, what do you have here?
I have a carnitas bowl.
She still eats at the St. Paul Chipotle despite recent problems.
Compared to, you know, how many people it's actually affected versus how many people they serve every day, I feel that the risk is pretty minimal.
And she's confident the company's new food prep and food handling protocols will prevent further problems. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
New York City wants to put private housing and private businesses mixed in with public housing to raise money for public housing and to create jobs for residents. From time to time here, we check in with Ariel Cohen, editor-in-chief of the publication Next City, about cities as policy laboratories.
New York City is moving forward where they will be building a mix of affordable and market-rate housing on land owned by the New York City Housing Authority, NYCHA. They're hoping that the plan will net between $400 million and $800 million by 2025. They have been suffering from disinvestment, a federal drop in support. So this is a way for NYCHA to support their aging housing stock.
All right, so there's the money that would come in. But what? There's also an economic development angle here. I think the hope is that people who live in the public housing projects might find some work.
They're hoping that with all the new construction and the new residents that will be joining these neighborhoods, there will be new opportunities for public housing residents, you know, in the construction and also in retail or restaurants that may open in these communities.
So that's the plan. But you've been looking at some of the data.
It's interesting. The city recently commissioned a study how people living in public housing in gentrifying neighborhoods in persistently low-income neighborhoods and in wealthier neighborhoods were doing. Concurrently, some independent researchers working out of City University of New York did a very similar study. And both studies found that public housing residents don't necessarily find more jobs in communities that are wealthier or gentrifying.
What I'm hearing is when it comes to construction jobs, often those construction jobs come from elsewhere. When they do the hiring at a local business, it might not be from people who are living in the public housing.
And interestingly, when public housing is built, those construction projects are mandated by federal law to hire a certain number of public housing residents. Because the new development will actually be done by private entities, those private companies actually have no lawful commitment to hiring public housing residents.
Ariella Cohen is editor-in-chief of the online publication Next City. Just put .org after that and you'll spot it. Ariella, thank you.
Thank you so much.
The piece in Next City is titled, New York Wants to Close the Gap Between Public Housing Residents and Wall Street Bankers. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.